Welcome to Comic Culture here on 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio, now also podcast at comicbookdaily.com. I am your co-host, Walter Duralia, joined, as always, by my illustrious co-host, Chris Owen, professor of comic history at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
Hey, Walter, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Chris. You?
Great. I'm fantastic. You know, I'm finally getting over being away for a month, being away from the show for a month. I was out in Whistler for the Olympics, and now I'm back. And only now am I finally starting to feel like I'm back to reality a little bit.
Yes.
You know, being away at the Olympics was this sort of fantasy kind of world.
Fantasy.
It really was, because, you know, I was at this place where there's, like, you know, all kinds of partying going on and fun times and positive thinking.
Yeah.
And then I came back to...
It's like you were in a comic book.
Yeah, it really was.
Yes.
It really was.
Everybody,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Superhero the, strength over there.
Absolutely, yeah.
Extra,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and, okay. and then I came back to...
reality.
To reality. But you know what? It's good to be back, because now I get to read comic books again. And I get to find out what's going on in the comic book world. So it's good times, and speaking of the comic book world, today is Wednesday.
It is.
And, of course, as we say, it's New Comic Book Day, our favorite day of the week.
What is our favorite day of the
week? And what's going on, Walt?
Well, you know what? I'm going to highlight just a couple today, because, you know what, we have, I don't want to say a lot to talk about, but we do have a lot to talk about today. So I'm going to hit us with Marvel coming out with Siege today. Siege number 3. That's their big four-part blockbuster of the year type thing, where Asgard and, like, what's his name, Osborn, is teaming up with Loki and
trying to take
the whole thing down. And so that is coming out today. Lots of Marvel fans. If I'm not mistaken, it's actually... It went head to head last month with the Blackest Night. I'm sorry. And Siege number 2 did come in second.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Night, so. Well, you know what I found really interesting is that Siege is being kind of put on during Blackest Night, but at the same time, usually these things happen in the summertime for whatever reason, right?
Yes.
And so now this is a big event that's happening in the winter and spring kind of thing, right?
Yes.
And I thought it was really interesting that this would come out now. So I'm wondering, and I'm waiting. I'm sure there's going to be another big event coming in the summer, but we don't know exactly quite what's going to happen.
DC is going to lead into that Brightest Day thing from The Darkest Night.
Right. And
or
Marvel,
Blackest Night. What the heck am I saying?
Yeah.
And the Marvel is the new age, the heroes. I forget what it's called. The Marvel is coming
with their own stuff.
Yeah,
yeah,
I think Marvel is coming out of the Dark Reign thing.
Yes,
So
then they're going to go head to head with those two titles.
Oh, absolutely,
yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. And that's the modus operandi. That's the way the two big publishers are working now.
Yep.
A lot of emphasis on big story arcs, on big events. It's really, I won't say started. I mean, it really took off 4 years ago or 3 years ago or so with the Civil War thing. And that was kind of the thing that entrenched the companies to say, hey, this is the way we got to run.
And you know what's funny about Civil War is that really started very slowly, because the first two issues came out, and then it was forever until, like, the third issue came out, and then forever again until the fourth issue came out, because apparently the artist was a little bit slow in getting the work done.
Right.
But then after that... Then you had all the miniseries from Marvel, and then DC kind of caught on to that bandwagon as well. Now, granted, having said all this, they've been doing these things for years now. I mean, DC years ago had the death of Batman, and that's like 15 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that was going on, and of course, Marvel had Secret Wars and Secret Wars 2, and then so I mean, this is nothing new that's happening in the comic book industry.
But I think there just seems to be the focus of the whole company is to the events right
absolutely,
now.
Absolutely, yeah.
And like you were right, when Marvel did the, what was it, the
Secret
Civil
Wars?
Civil War.
Yeah.
And they had the problem with scheduling.
Yeah.
And that really hurt them, and I think they all learned a lesson from that, because I remember, like, the last two or three big events from both companies, scheduling really wasn't an issue
per se.
And not like they were 3-4 years ago with the events that they were doing.
Well, and you know, I think Marvel probably realized what was happening, because for a few of their titles, you gotta remember, for Wolverine and the Hulk, not Unlimited, what's it called? Ultimate Wolverine Hulk. Because remember there was that series that was done by Damon Lindelof, who was working on Lost, and then you had the Black Cat and the Daredevil
thing.
Bullseye by Kevin Smith.
Yep.
And then you had Civil War. So they were plagued with untimely lateness right? Yeah. So it looks like now they finally hit the nail on the head, and they know that.
I think they have a blacklist of, you know, like Frank Cho's probably at the top of their list.
Absolutely.
You know? This guy cannot do a monthly.
Adam Hughes, Frank Cho, Kevin Smith, you know, all those guys.
All those guys. They're like, I mean, any comic shop owners that are listening, they're like those guys that, you know, are trying to join the subscription service for the fourth time after being delinquent three times in the last 3 or 4 years. And it's like, yeah, I'd like to come back. Yeah, well, you know, give me your credit card on file.
Yeah, well, Walt's not bitter at all about any of that.
Anyway, let's jump over to DC. DC, Chris.
Okay.
DC Comics, Batman number 697 hits the stands today. Tony Daniel is writing it. Tony Daniel is drawing it. And Tony Daniel did the cover.
Wow, you know, it sounds like Tony Daniel's the man.
He's very much involved.
Now this is in no Tony Daniel, wasn't he the guy that was on Who's the Boss?
Who's the Boss?
Oh, sorry, that's Tony Danza.
I thought this was the guy in The Old Odd Couple.
I think that's Tony Randall.
Tony Randall, right. I got totally off.
Yeah, man, okay.
You're closer than I was, I think. By about 2 decades.
Tony Randall. Sorry, Tony Daniel. Rather, he's been around for a while. He did a lot of work for Image and years ago, and now he's working on a lot of the major titles for DC and Marvel.
Yeah. So, 697 Batman. You know what? We're going to get into Batman a little bit later in the show, Chris, and talk about I guess what happens when a super popular artist gets off the title and a popular artist comes back.
Yes.
Okay, but first we're going to skip, or not skip, because we're already done. Excellent, Chris. Thanks for helping.
Well, you know, that's what I'm here for.
Okay. And we're going to hit some industry news.
Okay, right.
Which is, I think, the most popular part of the show.
Well, you know, all of our fans have said that, you know, because we do get email once in a while. The fans have said that they do like the industry news. Kind of keeps them abreast of the situation.
Abreast of the situation.
Yes, yes,
keeps them informed.
That's right.
In the know.
Yeah.
Mm. All right. Scooby-Doo.
I don't know if our fans are really worried about Scooby-Doo, but please continue.
Scooby-Doo. I mean, he's a comic.
Yes.
He's a popular DC comic.
He's a dog.
He's
a dog.
They're actually doing a CGI live action show, The Curse of the Lake Monster.
Didn't they already do this?
No.
Well, they did a movie, a couple of movies.
Yeah, they are. But the thing is that they're doing it for the Cartoon Network.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, they're going CGI direct to TV and then to DVD release in 2011, which is neat.
Did you know that they got the name Scooby-Doo from a Frank Sinatra song?
Scooby-Doo. I did not know that.
That's true. Yeah, it's true.
But I think we might have mentioned this on the other show. I think the Scoob Shag thing was all about smoking pot and having the munchies.
You know what?
Time,
I don't know if I like hearing that, because they just kind of sullies my whole impression of Scooby-Doo and Shaggy, and just not keen with it.
No.
I'm keen on Velma and Daphne, but
Heck yeah.
Yeah. So, hey, hold on. If you had to date either one of them, Daphne or Velma?
Daphne,
Daphne is hot, but I'm sure Velma, she'd probably keep you a kept man.
Velma in a Sarah Palin sort of way,
in a librarian kind of way.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right.
Both girls, and they're both good girls.
Absolutely.
So don't sully their intentions.
I'm not. No. I'm just wondering who you'd rather date.
Okay, no, I think they're both cute, and I think they're both very bright girls.
I'm just glad you didn't say Scrappy-Doo.
Oh. Hello.
Because, it'd be a dog, and that'd be weird.
I understand.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Let's move on, Chris, uncomfortable right now. they've picked a couple more characters for the Green Lantern film.
Oh, cool, okay.
So the Green Lantern film is moving forward. So
that's good.
The Green Lantern film is going to happen.
Yes. Now, hold on. I want to see if I know who. Is Hector Hammond one of those characters? Do we know that? I think we talked about that before, how Hector Hammond might be in that movie.
Yes. But these two new guys are not playing
Hector Hammond. Oh, okay.
Oh man, you're gonna help. You know how good I am with names.
All right,
a guy named Taiki Waititi.
Wait, hold on. Taiki Waititi.
And Tamaru Morrison.
Oh, Tamaru Morrison.
Who played Jango Fett?
Yeah.
They are playing. One guy's playing Abin Sur.
Oh, okay, cool.
And I guess big news on the net that they've got these two guys now. What I like about it on the net, you can't see it here on radio, obviously, is they have a picture of the character.
Oh yeah,
and then they try to find a picture of the actor.
Oh okay, right.
Kind
right.
of in and the same kind of like, pose of the character. Yeah. Can you see the resemblance?
Right.
I don't think the resemblance is the issue.
I quite enjoyed his acting in the Star Wars movies.
Oh yeah,
yeah. As Jango Fett. Yeah, I thought he did a good job.
And you know what's good about the casting too is, being populist. There's nothing more populist than Star Wars.
Oh well, yeah.
And you get these guys like yourself and other people that are well versed in Star Wars, saying, "Hey, you know, I remember him in Star Wars.
That's right.
He's in another
science fiction.
I think that adds to the sellability of the comic and the viability of the Green Lantern movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
In a small way.
Yep.
Okay, what else we have? Well, we have a guy named Saeed Tagmaui.
Okay.
Who played in the G.I. Joe Rise of the Cobra.
Oh, okay.
He will play a part in the new Conan movie.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Now, guys that were fans of Rise of the Cobra, you guys might know who Saeed is.
Right.
He actually plays a leader of a group of thieves that Conan, gets out of a jam during the movie.
Right.
And I'm assuming...
Right.
That these guys then become part of Conan's band or something like that.
I wouldn't think so, yeah.
Henchmen and so on.
You know, I didn't get a chance to see the G.I. Joe Rise of Cobra movie. I heard it was just okay. I didn't run out to go see it. It didn't look like the way the cartoon looked to me, so I had trouble wanting to go see
it. Right. Now, hold on. Which one was the big hit? There was the Transformers did really well, right?
Yeah.
But G.I. Joe didn't do
G.I.
Well.
Joe didn't really do that. I'm sure it did well, but, thing with G.I. Joe is that...
G.I. Joe, real American hero.
At first, the biggest problem was there was no kung fu grip. Right?
No kung fu grip.
Second problem is
I dated a girl once with a kung fu grip.
And she clocked you one?
Hello.
Yeah, I'm sure she did, yeah. But anyways, the G.I. Joe movie didn't do nearly as well as the Transformers movies. I'm sure there'll still be a sequel. I'm sure there's a fan following for it. You know what?
It's very much an 80s thing.
Absolutely.
Now, let's do the demographics on this thing. 80s, that's what, 20...
That's almost 30 years ago now, right?
Yeah, so these guys now are in their 30s, entering their 40s.
Yeah, right?
That were big G.I. Joe fans when it all came out.
For sure.
Perfect age for consumption of product.
Yeah, that's right.
The guys got their jobs, hopefully.
Yep. All right? One would hope.
And if they don't, I'm sure they're just bouncing off of a layoff.
If they don't, they'll still come to Big B and buy their comics.
Right, I'm sorry. Yeah. Or any other local shop that you may live near.
Yes.
So I don't know why, but I always look for Conan news every week because I'm looking so much forward to the movie.
Well, I know you're a big Conan fan, and
I'm still waiting for the blockbuster news that Arnold is going to make a cameo.
I'm sure he will. You know, it would be really cool if he played like some sort of king or some sort of background character or something like that, or somehow passed a torch onto the new Conan.
I can see Arnold being the new Stan Lee.
Because Stan Lee is in every Marvel movie,
right? That's
right.
So. And Arnold could be in any kind of Conan-related product.
Absolutely. For sure. He's the man.
He can be like the old guy that they're asking, hey, which way to the temple?
Yeah, that's right.
Or something like that. He could be the camel jockey or something.
Nice.
Anything. Anyway, Chris.
Yes.
More industry news.
Okay.
They have announced the release date for Tintin, The Adventures of Tintin.
Oh,
Steven Spielberg's Adventures of Tintin.
Yes. Now, I can't remember. Is he directing that? I think he's just producing it.
I don't have the info on the director.
Okay.
It's called The Adventures of Tintin.
Yep.
The Secret of the Unicorn in North America.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. The release date is December 23rd, 2011.
Wow. Well, it's a long way away still.
Yeah, over a year and a half away.
Yeah.
And
well,
now...
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, they are releasing it first in European countries like Sweden, Germany, I guess, in October,
France,
a couple
maybe?
Months earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess because it's way more popular sure. over there. Maybe they want to gauge interest. I don't
yep.
know. I did not know this, but I mean, I remember figures from Asterix Obelix were huge, but 200 million copies worldwide of the Tintin graphic novels
really?
Have sold.
Yeah. No way. Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That's incredible. I mean, I knew Asterix and Obelix were huge sellers, but I didn't, and I knew that Tintin was a good seller. I didn't
yes.
realize it was that popular,
massive,
though.
Massive. Now, I remember, unrelated here, I don't remember the piece, I don't remember when, I don't remember even the figure, but I remember months ago reading on some sort of auction site that Herge, the artist mm-hmm. for Tintin, one of his Tintin pages or pieces or
right,
cover
right.
from 1930 something
right.
sold for something asinine like $250,000
yeah,
or
yeah,
something
yeah,
like
yeah.
that.
Crazy.
So, yeah. So this is really, really a part of European French speaking
well,
folklore.
And you know what? You know what's funny is that in Europe, really, graphic novels and cartoonists are way more highly regarded mm-hmm. than they are in North America.
Yeah.
I mean, North America is
well, we're
is,
getting there though.
We're correcting the discrepancy. Absolutely. But, you know, for years and years and years, these guys were seen as true artists, whereas, you know, in North America, unfortunately, these guys were seen as, you know...
Guys that couldn't get a job as professional illustrators
or
novel writers.
I don't want to say the word hack, but that's yeah. sort of the impression that people got of the artists in North America.
Right.
And thank goodness this is turning around, because really, North America is turning out some of the best artists in the world.
Yes, yes.
Right?
Now, I mean, I'm going to throw my two cents in here, and this is, you know, this is a topic, Chris, that is much larger than a half-hour show.
Sure, absolutely, yes.
But we'll touch upon it and revisit it one day
yeah.
In the future. You know, in a sense, what happened to North America 50, 60, 70, I think, some odd years ago,
yeah.
is the media.
Yes.
Was hijacked, was overtaken, was held for ransom by the superhero genre.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Right?
For sure. For
and,
sure.
And nothing else mattered.
Well,
whereas in Europe it wasn't, and different strains of creativity went
yeah,
into
yeah.
to make humor, to make political statements,
yeah.
to make this, to make that.
Well, and let's not forget, I mean, as Walt said, this is a much larger topic than we can talk about right now, but let's not forget that in the 1950s, there was a complete stifling of creativity and artists because of the amount of exploitation that was happening in comic books at the time,
uh-huh.
be it sexual, horrific, gory, crime-ridden, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And
right.
so because of that sort of that censorship that was going on at the time, now, of course, there was a demeaning sort of look at comic books where people figured, well, if it's comic books, it must be comical, you know, funny heroes and mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And, of course, everything was sort of squashed at the time as far as any kind of real creativity.
Yeah.
And so
the comic code came in and made sure that the good guys wore white hats.
That's right.
They always won at the end, and there was a moral lesson, which is great when you're selling to kids.
Yes.
But it took away the comic medium to reach adults.
That's right.
In
that's
a sense,
right. And of course, so now we're seeing a bit of a resurgence now of the graphic novel of,
yes.
of people realizing
yes.
that comics are a valid art medium,
right?
Right?
And a way that can convey a mature story,
absolutely, yes,
in a very entertaining and thorough way.
And Europe was sort of just ahead of us in that
yeah,
regard.
Yeah. 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 Okay, you know what? We're going to leave that there.
Yeah,
we
yeah,
can
yeah.
talk about that for 17, 18 hours.
Yes.
All right. What else do we have? Chris. Oh, Chris, this is what I wanted to come back to that Batman a while back for, is I have the February's list.
Oh,
from
Wall Street? Not from
New York Times. This is from the comic special shop.
Right, right, right.
So from Diamond Distribution's figures.
Cool.
In February, as I mentioned before, Blackest Night number 7 headed the list, followed by Siege number 2.
Yes.
Followed by Green Lantern 51, which was a Blackest Night tie-in.
Okay, right.
Okay. Followed by Batman and Robin 8 and 9, which both shipped on the same date to catch up. But the popularity of that title shows Grant Morrison writing.
And I think it's still Frank Quietly.
Right, right. Then we get into the two Avengers titles, Dark Avengers and Avengers.
Yeah.
Extremely popular. Green Lantern Corps, again, a Blackest Night tie-in. Flash Rebirth, and top off the number 10, Uncanny X-Men 521.
Very cool. Well, you know, that seems like it's a very, it's a good mix of both Marvel and DC, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's...
And a good mix, too, of... event-related, non-event-related,
which is good, too.
It's good. Right.
Because it shows that not everybody's just jumping on bandwagons, that they're also they're supporting the regular titles as well.
And which is nice to see.
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting is, and like what you say, Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man, came in at number 15.
Oh, okay, right.
Now, I guess my point is 15 is a strong number, but Amazing Spider-Man was, you know, in the top five for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess my point is here that is people that read comics expect quality.
Yes.
And expect, I don't know, something special, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
And just it doesn't seem that the answer of just conformity and continuity is enough to keep something in the top 10.
No.
You know, a big event will get guys excited, but if you give a guy the same old enough times,
well,
readership will drop off. And this is what's happening with Amazing Spider-Man.
And you know, on the publisher's defense, you know, these characters have been around. I mean, you look at the Batman, Superman characters, you're looking at, like, you know,
70
years,
80
right?
80 years almost.
Spider-Man, those characters from the Marvel side, you're looking at, like, 40, 50 years almost now.
Yeah, you're right. 50. Getting on 50,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right. So, you know, it's really, really difficult to come up with new ideas for these characters that have been around for so long, for stories that are published every month for the last little while.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, and some have multiple titles, so you're looking at, like, four or five titles for the same character.
And you're right.
Right. So how do you come up with new titles?
Well,
so it's still refreshing to see that these guys are still pumping out some good stuff.
Because Batman is at number 14 and Spider-Man is at number 15. And this is what we're talking about right now, is that these two titles, over the flux of, let's say, since Spider-Man was out some 48 years.
Yeah, now, yeah.
These two titles have been at the top of the game probably several times.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Big spikes in popularity, and then they dip, right?
Yep.
And then, McFarlane comes on to Spider-Man,
right,
and
yeah.
it goes
yep,
up.
Yep.
You know, Batman, Death of Year One, or whatever.
Yep.
And then it goes up, and then it dips. And just on and on. And they seem to ride this wave.
Mm-hmm.
And now, let's take Batman. This is what I wanted to talk about. With the young gentleman, what was his name? Tony Daniel. Okay, Tony Daniel, yeah. He took over from Grant Morrison.
Yes, okay? Yes.
And we discussed when that happened how it's hard for a guy like that to take over from, you know, a big run. It's like, you know, following in the old days, you know, following the Stones.
Yeah, absolutely.
As a rock act, you can't, or whatever.
It's very, very difficult.
Yeah,
and
very
you know
difficult.
What? And it's one of those cases where no matter what he does, he's going to be criticized for doing it. And so hopefully he can come up with some sort of storyline that's going to be interesting enough that people are going to want to follow the story, despite the fact that he's following Grant Morrison, right?
Now, the thing is that the readership, they punish him. And Grant Morrison's last issue, 681 Batman, sold 103,000 copies.
Wow.
The last issue that just came out in February of Batman sold 61,000 copies.
Right, right.
And it's been a continual, not a drastic, but a continual 3,000-4,000 drop per month since then. So they're not abandoning them in waves.
No,
but they
no.
are slowly falling off.
But you know what? I mean, there are many, many people that are Grant Morrison fans, and they will buy anything that Grant Morrison writes. And
mm-hmm.
that's like going to see a movie that no matter what Brad Pitt is in or Arnold Schwarzenegger in his heyday, you know, I'm a fan of that person. I'm going to go no matter what. I'm going to read this guy's art or comics no matter what. So, you know, unfortunately, Tony Daniel doesn't have that kind of following yet where it's like, oh, no matter what he writes or draws, I'm going to get his books yet. Hopefully he will get to the, you know, with this kind of exposure following the heels of guys like Grant Morrison, maybe he will get to that point. but yeah. I don't know if that's going to happen anytime
that's
soon.
That's a good point. That is a good point.
But you know what? I think we really got to cut it off right now because we got to talk a little, just for 5 minutes, about the show. There's a Wizard convention coming up in 2 weekends in Toronto, and you and I were talking about how, you know, if people have never gone to a show, what should they expect to either bring to the show or do at the show? Or, you know, what's the whole show experience all about?
Right. Okay. So 26th, 27th, 28th of this month, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I believe it's at the C&E Grounds.
Yes.
Wizard World is doing their Toronto show, and you're right. Actually, on comicbookdaily.com,
yeah,
there is a sequence of articles and tips I'm writing called Convention Tips.
Okay.
Where this is to help you prepare for the convention season. And a couple of things I point out on the blogs, Chris, is one is, believe it or not, stuff like even just get your rest.
Yes.
You have to pack in so much.
Oh, you know what? When you go to one of these shows, you really, like, you got to plan to be there for, you know, a good 8 hours.
Yes.
Right? And you're on your feet for the entire time.
Yep.
You know, make sure you have something good to eat in the morning, because you may not eat until 5 or 6 o'clock that night.
And nutrition. Don't eat just junk there, because, you know, especially if you're going in with a plan. You have to have the plan first. That's the next thing, right? Yeah. There's so much to do. You can't do it in a day. Really, you can't even do it in a weekend. So if you got to get stuff signed, you got to block off that time.
Yes.
If you want to hit looking for whatever, then you got to block off that time.
Yeah. As far as time goes, that's an excellent point, because you know what? And as far as time goes, make sure you have your lists ready.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a collector of any kind, you got to make sure that you're going to go to the show and you're going to have your list ready of what you're going to look for, because you're going to end up going to the show and you're going to say to yourself, I need an issue, but I can't remember the title. I can't remember what it was, blah, 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 blah. You know what? You might as well just go on a computer now and get all that information, figure it out what you need, because you got to be prepared.
Yeah. You know what?
Also, I got to say that, you know, as well as, you know, eating right and being healthy and all that, bring a bottle of water with you, because you know what?
I thought you were going to say wine.
Well, that's good too, but, bring a bottle of water. Bring something with you, because you know what? To avoid paying some of the extravagant prices at these shows, you're looking at sometimes upwards of $3 for a bottle of water.
Right.
And it's just ridiculous. So bring a bottle of water with you. Bring something. And if you need to go and eat something, try to, you know, maybe pack some food or bring a granola bar or something, because you're going to get tired. You need to do something.
Okay. I'm going to add another thing in that a lot of people don't consider. And Chris, we're going to have to revisit this topic, because look at you and I. We're doing like a 100-meter sprint.
I know.
To try to get something very important down.
Absolutely right.
So we're going to revisit this next week. We're going to allow ourselves more time, and we'll get into each of these topics and more topics a little bit in more detail. But one of the last one I want to point out for today anyway is to consider who you're going to the show with.
That's
extremely important.
Great point. Great point.
Don't take your kids if you're going to rummage through dollar bins.
Yes.
Because they're going to get bored stiff. And your daddy, dad, mom, you're going to be aggravated. You're going to be agitated. You're not going to get done what you want to get done. If you're bringing your girlfriend or your boyfriend, prepare them. I've worked the booth where, you know, the girl, she's sitting there.
Or the guy.
Yeah. She's throwing daggers at him through her eyes and stuff. Like, when's this going to be over?
Yeah.
But he just started roaming the bins, right?
Yeah,
so you got to consider, you know what? If you got work to do at that con, if you got a list of objectives to get done at that con, you know, leave the civvies at home.
Yeah.
Leave the civilians at home. Concentrate on what you want to do. These things, these big things, don't come around to big towns more than maybe once, twice a year. You have to treat it seriously and get prepared for these things.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? We are definitely going to have to continue this next week,
yeah,
because we're already way out of time. One thing I do want to say is very important. Bring your patience. Because at these shows, a lot of times you're going to be waiting around for a long time to either meet artists or meet guests.
And patients, bring your nurses, please.
Yeah. Hey, Zing, he's got a million of them.
Okay.
But seriously, bring some patients with you and just relax, have a great time. Sadly, unfortunately, we're all out of time already.
Already? Jeez, Chris,
you know,
come on.
Yeah, I know.
That's not
it's crazy. It is.
Oh,
true.
Great.
But listen. Go out and support your local comic book dealers. Have yourself a great day. Try to make it to the show, not this weekend, but next weekend. We are going to revisit this topic and talk a little bit more about things to bring at the show in more detail. I think this is something that we didn't think would last quite as long, and we're going to have to talk a little bit about a little bit more. Anyways, have yourself a great weekend and enjoy the day.
See everyone next week.